Attention, attention all personnel. It's MASHcast.
This movie's a classic. It's got the three things that make a movie great. Horses, cowboys, and horses.
Hello, and welcome to a special mini-sode of MASHcast, the first in a series that we are calling Movie Tonight. Movie Tonight will examine the films that have some unusual connection to the MASH TV series. Joining me in the mess tent to watch 1969's The Extraordinary Seaman, starring, I can't help but giggle when you say it, starring Alan Alda, is VIP Sean Ross. Hi, Sean. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if thank you is the right term, but I'm excited to be here to discuss the Extraordinary Seaman, and I'm just going to make a promise to the listeners that I will do my best not to giggle every time I say the title, and I don't know if I'm going to make it even three times without doing it.
How can you not? Yeah. This whole thing was stumbled upon by me when I was doing research for the episode that Sean was on of the regular MASHcast show, which is I Hate a Mystery, where I researched the credits of people that worked on the show. And the writer of I Hate a Mystery, one of the writers, Hal Dresner, I looked him up, and Hal Dresner has a bunch of TV and movie credits. He wrote The Iger Sanction with Clint Eastwood, which is a great movie. He wrote Zorro the Gay Blade, which is, you know, not a great movie.
Bite your tongue.
but he wrote this movie called The Extraordinary Seaman, and I just was like, what a weird title for a movie. What was this, 1945? No, 1969. So I'm like, okay. And so I looked that movie up, and lo and behold, Alan Alda's in the cast. And so I was like, okay, this is too perfect. I had sort of wanted to do a Movie Tonight podcast, sort of series of mini-sodes where I would talk about a movie that has some, nexus of MASH people all at once. And so here was something starring the future star of MASH and written by a writer of MASH episodes. And it actually has another MASH connection, which I'll get to shortly. And so it was just too good to pass up. So we checked out this movie, The Extraordinary Seaman. Oh, God. and part of the reason I was so amazed by it and wanted to check it out is because of the cast. The top line stars of this movie are, as I said, Alan Alda, David Niven, Faye Dunaway, and Mickey Rooney. I mean, it's like, imagine those four people at the craft services table. Like, what did they have to talk about? I mean, two completely different people. And it's kind of amazing because it was a movie where, you know, David Niven obviously was at the twilight of his career. He was in the golden age of Hollywood. Mickey Rooney was always just sort of hanging around. Alan Alda was an up-and-comer, but still pretty much unknown. This was before he did Paper Tiger, which made him kind of a name. But this movie was really sold on Faye Dunaway, because Faye Dunaway was just coming off of Bonnie and Clyde and the Thomas Crown Affair. So she was hot as could be in 1969. And the poster, it's a really beautiful poster, has her in kind of this sexy sort of short shorts kind of thing. And they're really selling it on her, even though she's not in the movie all that much. The plot is bewildering. It's about a ghostly British naval officer. Yes, I said ghostly. David Niven, who persuades four members of the American Navy to launch an attack on Japanese positions, hoping to redeem the family honor and his own tattered record from the First World War. He had been condemned to sail the seas forever after falling down drunk for his first battle in the Great War. With his typical luck, he actually succeeds in sinking a Japanese naval vessel after it had officially surrendered to the U.S. Navy. As a result, he is seen again consigned to sailing his ship forever, this time in a children's amusement park lake to await another chance at redemption. So this movie is a service comedy, a war comedy, an action adventure movie, and also kind of like a ghost movie. directed by noted funny man John Frankenheimer, who was coming off of, again, talk about coming off of a hit streak. Previous to this, he had done The Manchurian Candidate, 7 Days in May, Seconds, The Train, and Grand Prix. All great movies, some of the bona fide classics, but not a laugh to be found in any of them. So why he was chosen to do this movie is bewildering. This movie's available on YouTube. I'm almost afraid to ask, Sean, what did you think of The Extraordinary Seaman?
I thought it was less extraordinary. You talk about Faye Dunaway coming off of Bonnie and Clyde and John Frankenheimer coming off of Manchurian Candidate. Like, this is the worst follow-up Nothing would match this until Charlie Sheen follows up Platoon with Three for the Road. Like, this is the absolute worst follow-up I've ever seen. So when you told me about the movie, I was like, okay, well, I have to watch this. Like it's almost like a Mad Lib of a movie, right? It's you know, imagine, enter actor here. You just start entering, like, David Niven, you know, Faye Dunaway, Mickey Rooney. Like, no one will buy this. And then I saw the poster. I looked the poster up, and it is, you know, Faye Dunaway at her most beautiful and sexy. And I think the poster even says, like, Faye Dunaway, Faye Dunaway, Faye Dunaway. I mean, it's really funny. They're highlighting her assets, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Stowaway with Dunaway, it says.
Yeah, exactly. Though, did you see the other theatrical poster?
Oh, the other – we got to get to that. The other poster
God.
Do you want to get to it now? Just because you brought it up?
Yeah.
Other poster. Why don't you describe it, Sean? It is gobsmackingly strange.
So it's a, you know, a photo, and then on the side it says – like, it's almost like the font and the scroll they use for the, like, in memoriam portion of the Oscars. And it says, we would like to thank the following for this film. And it's like Tojo, Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, World War II. I mean, it is so unbelievably and unintentionally offensive, though maybe not, because any movie that calls itself The Extraordinary Seaman in 1969 has a tongue or something firmly implanted in cheek. And so I don't know, maybe they thought that poster was witty, but I looked at it and I was like, oh my God. If Twitter didn't exist, it would have been invented just to be outraged at this poster.
Oh, the post, yeah, this alternate poster, which you can see on the Wikipedia page. I mean, the history of this movie was they shot it down in Mexico, and they stuck Frankenheimer with apparently a lot of local Mexican crew members. They didn't want to send a whole, you know, bunch of studio people down there. And Frankenheimer just did not get along with these people and with this crew, because they had, apparently from his words, their own way of shooting a film, and they didn't shoot enough footage. They didn't want to shoot close-ups. They just wanted to do, like, kind of everything in long shot, and it was like, you know, they would do, apparently he would go back and look at the footage later, and they kind of did everything once, and they were like, okay, good enough, in a kind of Ed Woody and, you know, well, that was perfect, you know, let's go ahead. And so apparently when they got back to Hollywood to cut the movie, Frankenheimer found that he literally did not have enough footage to make a movie. He was like 20 minutes short. And so if you watch this movie, and I am winding my way to the poster, but if you watch the movie, it's intercut with all of this footage from World War II, all this newsreel footage and stuff of featuring like Bess Truman and Eleanor Roosevelt and Harry Truman and Stalin. And you think it's like a stylistic choice, but then you find out, no, Frankenheimer was literally having to pad out the movie to get it to feature length. And so it's a very discordant movie. And so MGM, they realized they had a turkey on their hands. They just knew this thing was just a bomb. And so I guess they figured this other poster was maybe a way to kind of like hip it up a little and make it look like it's more of like a MASH, although MASH had not been out yet, of course, but to make it more of like an Easy Rider-y kind of like counterculture movie. Mm-hmm. Because the poster, again, has this close-up of a woman. She's in gold paint, and half of her is painted in a flag. And it says the line, it says, we would like to thank Adolf Hitler, David Niven, Joseph Stalin, Faye Dunaway, Tojo, Mickey Rooney, Jack Carter, Alan Alda, John Frankenheimer, and the millions of Nazis, Japanese, and Americans who made this picture possible. I mean, I imagine if you're one of those actors, you're like, how dare you put my name on that list next to Nazis? Like, it's not funny. It's not transgressive. It's just offensive. And so it reeks of flop sweat, of MGM just like, please see this movie. And when you watch the movie, it's totally not counterculture. It's like a 40s, it's like McHale's Navy with ghosts in it.
It is like the worst episode of Scooby-Doo ever made. I mean, it really – and I'm so glad you talked about the long shots, because I started watching the movie and I was like I'm like, do I need new glasses? Because I'm having real trouble zooming in on the characters. Why are they taking these really long shots where everything's muddled and everything – the film almost looks like it's in black and white to begin with, and then – you know, it's really shot so poorly. And there are scenes like they try to build up Alan Alda and Faye Dunaway as a couple at a certain point.
They have no chemistry together.
Oh, my God, they have no chemistry. Like, they are so clearly doing a first shot at a scene. They are so clearly thinking, especially after watching MASH and watching other, you know, Faye Dunaway for an entire career, you know how good they are. And there are these scenes where, like, there's a scene where Dunaway's up at Lookout, up on the ropes, and Alan Alda's climbing up, and they've had a little tiff the night before, and he's kind of trying to apologize, and he turns and he falls into the net, and it's clearly supposed to be a somewhat familiar, like, oh, they're getting physically more connected, and Alda's doing his best to sell it, but he kind of bumps her, and she's like, kind of like, oh, excuse me, and clearly they didn't think that was going to show up in the film.
Yeah.
But it's so poorly made. And you're right. I did some research because I was like, okay, they clearly tried to pitch this as Dr. Strangelove, right?
Yeah. Like, oh, God.
Like,
oh.
Dr. Strangelove comes out in 64. You know, Catch 22, the novel, came out in 53. But then the Catch 22 novel was being – or movie was being made when this movie was being made and released. So I think they – same thing. They went in saying – okay, this is a quaint Mickey Rooney-esque, you know, like, you know, singing Navy, you know, movie from the 40s. Oh, God, it can't be that. Let's call it avant-garde. Like, yeah. Let's call it, you know, let's say it's risque, or let's say it's something that – and it is so – it's so bad. It's so – I can't – you just can't unsee it. Like, it's such an awful movie. Though, there are a few redeeming things. Like, when it first started – you know, you got to love David Niven. I mean, you know, I kept hearing the Pink Panther theme, but you got to love David Niven. And that moment when he's sitting on the boat and the sky starts talking to him.
The shot of the clouds with the voiceover. Like, all of a sudden we're in the second Fantastic Four movie with Galactus, you know, the giant purple cloud.
Well, the cloud starts talking to him. And I'm like, okay, God's talking. Like, this movie just got really interesting. This just got really strange. And, you know, then it's his grandfather, and he's telling him, you know, I'm sending these four men your way, and, you know, this is your chance. This is your chance at redemption. So I was like, oh, cool. Okay, this is like a ghost story redemption war movie. And then that plot is just not forgotten, but it's so bizarrely ignored or not developed until the very end, where they're like, surprise, we're going to do a little trick on you at the end, effectively involving a really bad game of Battleship. Like, I just it is a movie that was made. I think that's probably the nicest thing I can say about it.
Yeah, I mean, all of this is one of those things where it's like all of the elements by themselves are great. John Frankenheimer, a great film director. David Niven, a great actor. Faye Dunaway, great actress. Alan Alda, we know how much we love Alan Alda, but mixed together, they're ghastly, you know? And I mean, part of it is really just the screenplay. I mean, Faye, and it's funny, they sell this movie on Faye Dunaway. She's not even in it that much. I mean, she plays a person from a trading post that has been wrecked and forgotten, and so she's like the last person left, and she meets them all at gunpoint because she thinks they're like they're there to steal stuff from her. But I mean, she doesn't even really figure into it. It's really David Niven's movie. And Alan Alda, look, nobody loves Alan Alda more than me. Hawkeye is one of my childhood heroes. He's fine in this movie, but he's just kind of, and forgive the pun, he's at sea. Like, he's just lost here because I just think he has no idea what he's supposed to be doing. He seems to kind of be playing it realistically because the part where he figures out – I mean, it takes him for a while to figure out, of course, that David Niven is a ghost. And, you know, he says, why do you look like this photo – why do you look like this guy in this photo from World War One? He's like, well, David Niven. And David Niven is kind of playing it with a light touch, almost like it's Topper. And now, Alan Alda's character just exists in a different movie. Like, they're just completely different. And then you got Mickey Rooney. And, you know, look, we all know from Breakfast at Tiffany's, you cannot have Mickey Rooney anywhere near anything involving Asian people because he immediately jumps to Banza! You know, he jumps right to the most offensive caricatures possible. And they have some of that in this movie, too. And you just got to keep him away from that whole culture because you're just asking for trouble.
Didn't you feel like this was – because this is his last contract movie with MGM. Like, this is it. This is his – you know, he signed that – you know, signs a contract when he's younger, and this is the old studio method where, you know, Mickey, you're a great actor. We're going to sign you to 20 pictures. And, you know, and he's kind of aged out, and this is the last movie. And this felt like MGM sticking it to him. Like, this felt – personal, because you get somebody, there's no reason he's in this movie, and they have him in it, and to have a name actor like Mickey Rooney, literally the only thing he says in the movie is, like you said, every time he sees an Asian person, he's like, it's a Jap, it's a Jap. And I get that that's war, you know, World War II.
Right, that's how they talk. Sure.
Yeah, it's World War II accurate, so I'm not going to get into any of that, but they give him no depth, and he's not even comic relief.
No.
He's literally just this bizarre interjection, and he clearly has no idea what he's supposed to be doing. So I think you're right. I think in order to try to make sense of it, he falls into some old patterns, which are not great. Yeah, no. I would have taken this casting personally if I were him, because it felt like a little stab, like on his way out the MGM door. But I'm glad you mentioned Alan Alda. I love him too. And I will say, because I was really trying to dig, for some gold amidst the ore that is this movie. And you do get to see early Hawkeye Pierce in moments where he's exasperated by war.
Yes.
Or exasperated by the absurdity of decisions made in war. And I was like, okay, you know, this is kind of a proto Hawkeye Pierce. The difference is he doesn't have any agency in this movie. You know, where Hawkeye always seems like he's the one in the room with the most control, in this movie, you know, he is just, you know, Lieutenant Krim. He just is at, like you said, he's at the sway, at the mercy of whatever happens to be happening around him. And it's just not, yeah, there's just nothing for him to work with in this.
Yeah. I am always amazed that when you can make a comedy that is like 95 minutes and not draw a single laugh. I'm always like, it always seems like that takes effort, you know, because to just, but you would just think accidentally it would be funny, you know, here and there. But I just sat and watched the movie. It is available. It has not been ever released on officially in any way. It is on YouTube. Some helpful person recorded it when it played on TCM. And they play it, they have it in six chunks so you can watch, which made the movie feel even longer than it was by watching it six segments at a time. But I was like, well, I'm in for this, so let's watch. I mean, I am glad I saw it, because I love finding these obscure little – you can go back and find these movies where, like, everyone's heard of The Manchurian Candidate. You know, everyone's mm-hmm. heard of Bonnie and Clyde. Everyone's heard of this movie or that movie. And then you see this weird – you're like, what's that movie? What's that? And you look that up, and then you look at the cast, and you're like, what? I've never heard of this thing. So I'm glad that I saw it, but boy, it's deserves to be forgotten. And Frankenheimer himself called it an absolute disaster from beginning to end. So –
There's not a single person who was in this film who speaks kindly of it. I actually think the whole little sight gag with David Niven, so Finchhaven, his character, he has a bottle of whiskey or bourbon, and he keeps pouring it into a glass and then tipping it, and it like magically refills. He pours it into a glass, it magically refills. I don't think that was in the script. I think that was literally something they did because David Niven was drunk on set every day because he could see what was coming. Like, he just knew this was a stinker. And it's so bad. I one piece of advice, if you are going to seek this movie out and watch it, in your Google search, put The Extraordinary Seaman Alan Alda film.
That's because, a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, if you try to search for it for just the title – You get a higher quality of film. They're better films, but not the film you're looking for. It's funny. I love MASHcast, and I was really honored to be on the show. And when you were like, hey, you know, would you like to do this little side film? I was like, oh, that's so cool. I'm so excited. And then I watched it, and I was like, did I anger him? Like, did I did I make Rob mad? Like,
I'm MGM, and you're Mickey Rooney in this scenario.
This movie was so bad that I was, in preparation for this, I was like, all right, I'm going to try to come up with some puns for semen. I have a list. I'm not sharing any of them.
Thank you. In my notes
for this, I had this whole list that I was like, you know, this would be, then I was like, no, that's just it. There's no saving this. There's no, like you said, I'm glad I saw it too. I love watching old films. I love the stories behind them. I actually really wish this had been a zany 1940s film, because I think the spirit of it would have been very sweet. I think the ghost story.
Yeah. If you had made this an Abbott Costello movie, this probably would have worked.
Oh my God. It would have been funny and sweet. And instead, it's literally, like you said, you can see the gaps in the script. and you can see the actors, like, I also wonder what kind of direction they were getting. Like, what were they supposed to do in these scenes? Like, Alan Alda goes storming into the bridge to yell at Finchhaven, you know, about and he's starting to piece together the oddities that, you know, Finchhaven's uniform is always clean and his bottle is always full of whiskey. And David Niven's like, okay, number two. And it's like he gives them this weird sort of at McMaritime promotion, and that appeases Alan Alda's character. And you're like, well, that doesn't make sense with who he's turned out to be. And then, I don't know, there's this moment at the end where the whole plot's coming together, and Niven's like, oh, we're gonna crash this battle cruiser. I'm gonna gain honor for my family name, and it's gonna appease my grandfather in the clouds, you know, Mufasa, and it's gonna, you know, redeem my whole arc. And Alan Alda looks at Faye Dunaway and he has this corny line about like falling in love at sea, and it lands with a thud. Because they even look at each other in the film like, oh no, no one's buying this. Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
I don't know, man.
Pretty dismal. Apparently, a couple last things I want to mention. We've already spent way too much time talking about The Extraordinary Seaman. In that apparently the shoot itself was actually kind of fun for the actors. There was a quote from Faye Dunaway where she said, because they were shooting in Mexico during the rainy season, there were long stretches where they couldn't shoot. So they were just off. They were just hanging out at the hotel, and they would have these lush dinner parties where David Niven would hold court and just talk about old Hollywood. And I'm like, that's the movie I want to see.
Exactly.
Like, just make that the movie. Just make a documentary of David Niven telling dirty stories about, you know, Cary Grant or something. Because, like, can you imagine sitting at a table? Like, imagine being a waiter and bringing drinks over. And bringing your dinner order over to David Niven, Faye Dunaway, Alan Alda, and Mickey Rooney. That's like Hollywood bingo, man. You're like, this is crazy. This is great. I mean, that I want to see. But apparently none of them really regretted doing it other than just that it was a flop. But they enjoyed the literal process of making the movie. So that was nice. At least they got that out of it.
Yeah, they had some fun. And everybody gets a bad one. You know,
Sure. Everybody, yeah. It was a minor speed bump in Faye Dunaway's career because she went on to do a lot of great movies, of course. Mm-hmm. And Alan Alda, you know, went on. He did Paper Tiger right after this, which catapulted him into stardom. And then he did MASH, of course. We know that. And David Niven continued to go on and have a great career. Mickey Rooney. But there are two other connections to MASH that I do need to mention before we sign off. First of all, we do see a character near the end of the movie, Admiral Shimogoshi. And that's the whole scene with the battleship that you're talking about, where they see that the war is ending. That is played by the actor Jerry Fujikawa. Jerry Fujikawa has hundreds of credits, one of those jobbing actors. He was on 7 different episodes of MASH, always playing a different character. Probably his most famous part on MASH is in the season 3 episode, Officer of the Day. He is the tailor who makes the pinstripe suit Trapper that goes in the wrong direction. He's that guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's like, those are your kids, Marshall and Elroy. That's that guy. So that's Jerry Fujikawa. He doesn't have any scenes with Alan Alda, but nevertheless, that's the other MASH connection. And then the final one is Hal Dresner. His career continued all the way into the 80s. His final credit is an episode of the CBS Summer Playhouse in 1987. It was a show called Reno and Yolanda, which starred William Christopher. So, yeah, he got to work with Father Mulcahy once again. So there's all sorts of MASH connections all over this movie. And, like, I always wonder, and I've said this on other shows, or I've talked about, like, what's it like to shoot these things. Like, I doubt that Hal Dresner was on the set when they filmed I Hate a Mystery, or the other episode he did, Edwina, because at that point, the script writer is not on set unless you're a staff writer, and Hal Dresner was not. But I have to wonder, like, when the scripts came in, did Alan Alda and Hal Dresner ever talk about, like, hey, boy, that Seaman movie didn't come out very well, did it? You know, or were there no conversations about it at all? I have no idea.
Yeah, maybe it's a shared, like you said, a shared fun experience, maybe it's one of those things that you pretend. Don't talk about. You know,
boy, did you see that poster, Hal? Oh my God, that poster is terrible. What was they putting my name on it Nazis? What are they doing?
That's one of the things I walked away with was I don't enjoy trashing a movie, and you know, but I walked away going, man, you had peak of her powers, Faye Dunaway, who is just like a goddess on earth.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And you had a young, like, super handsome, charismatic Alan Alda, and you still couldn't make this work. So yeah, it was doomed from the start.
Yeah, it was bad. It's a bad, bad movie. But nevertheless, people, you can see it on YouTube in six parts if you want. So yeah, that is going to do it for this first episode of Movie Tonight, Sean. I promise I will have you back on for another Movie Tonight installment, and we will talk about a much better movie. I already know what movie I want to talk about. So you deserve.
You've earned
a reward, and it should be a better movie when we do another one of these. So where can people find you on the internet?
So before I do want to say, I listen to every episode of MASHcast and Film and Water, and the fact that the only time I've appeared with you to talk about films, it's been Friday the 13th and The Extraordinary Seaman. Again, I'm hoping the next film we talk about is like Citizen Kane.
2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, 2000. There's really only a couple that could repay that debt. So I'm the co-host of Marvel Secret Wars and Beyond at the Pulp to Pixel Podcast Network, where we talk about every issue of Marvel Secret Wars from the very beloved first miniseries all the way to the most recent one from 2015. I'm also the co-host of the Nerdy Dads podcast, where my buddy Steve and I talk about pop culture things that we loved as kids that we are going to inflict on our children so they become the next generation of great geeks. And yeah, that's where I'm at.
Excellent, excellent. Check out those shows out, everybody. And of course, MASHcast, you can find back episodes of the show on the network site, which is fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can leave comments there. Let us know what you think of these little mini-sodes, these little Movie Tonight mini-sodes. I have ideas for a bunch of other ones because there's a lot of movies out there with multiple MASH connections. You wouldn't necessarily think so. And like I said, I promise here on the air, Sean will be back for a much better movie on Movie Tonight. I swear. So, and we'll be back next week with a regular episode of MASHcast. So I hope you enjoyed this little side trip into the mess tent to watch The Extraordinary Seaman. And that's going to do it. We will see you guys later. And until the next episode, that is all.
Well, now, welcome aboard. I am Commander Finchhaven, Royal Navy. Bit of loose ends for the moment. Ran a little off course. Oh, well, we're all right now. Good chaps, you Americans. Where are the rest of you?
The rest of us?
Well, this is very disappointing. I was expecting a full crew.
Just one officer and three ratings? Well, I dare say we'll be able to manage. You are an officer, I suppose.
Yes, sir. Quim, Michael, Lieutenant Junior Grade.
Junior Grade? Well, we can't have everything, can we?